Podcast. Oracle has bought Sun Microsystems. That happened in the last few months. The sale was completed. And there were a lot of questions about how that would affect the projects that Sun had managed. And now we're getting some answers. First of all, Sun had Open Solaris, an operating system. This was an open source companion operating system to Sun's Solaris. Now Oracle has decided that they are not going to run Open Solaris the same way. So it seems like they're killing it. And a story that is making bigger news: Oracle has decided to sue Google over Java, and specifically the Java that is involved in Android, Google's mobile operating system. I think this obviously is a major fork in the road in the history of Java. It may allow Oracle to collect licensing fees for every Android phone sold if they win. However, it may dampen enthusiasm for open source. It's hard to say how all of this is going to affect Oracle and their overall reputation in the open source community, but it's easy to think that this will considerably lower expectations about what other companies and individuals think about the kind of collaboration they're going to get with Oracle. Now, actually, you know, Oracle actually owns other properties, of course. Now, their main business is databases. But I remember when I was working in the Silicon Valley in 2003, Oracle was stalking PeopleSoft. I think a little bit later than that, they bought Siebel Systems. So they're very acquisitive. They like to get their hands on companies' assets and then see what they can do with it. So it's easy to imagine that when they grabbed Sun, they either had this in mind or maybe just looked at their patents and decided to go at Google over this. Now, this is a good point to make, that this is a patent suit. Oracle is claiming to have around 7 software patents that they say that Google is violating in their Dalvik virtual machine, which is involved in getting Android running. Now, intellectual property law or law in general is certainly not my area, but I do hear from free software advocates that patents for software are a very terrible idea, and in fact, in some countries, they're not actually allowed. And that includes some of EU countries, but the US obviously has to reform its laws on that area. Google is also in the news for their announcement, along with Verizon, about their policy that they would like to see put in place over net neutrality. Now, everyone has been remarking that net neutrality is a very complex debate, and it's hard to understand what the actual meaning of it is. Well, I do think that the basic principle is fairly simple, that people's should have access to the content that's on the internet, and website owners should be able to get their content to end users. There shouldn't be discrimination in on the network based on the power or influence of the website host or the end user. People should all have access to the information. Now, there have been proposals to censor the internet by fascist types like Joe Lieberman. He said, "Well, the Chinese have it. Why shouldn't we?" Something to that effect. And of course, there's also that's also, I think, maybe sometimes the politicians take the maximal position and then claim that they're compromising when they only take some of your rights away. So I would say that the ability of big companies to control the internet would obviously undermine a lot of the important features of the internet as a communication tool. I think Verizon and Google, when they got together and came up with this announcement, where they claim that they will enact net neutrality principles on data networks, but on wireless networks, they won't observe the net neutrality that a lot of advocates think they should. And of course, people are talking about mobile and wireless, and so that's a huge area of buzz, of course, right now. So it's very hard to think that that's just a minor detail. And there's also there are a lot of questions about what Google and Verizon are doing, you know, getting together like this, and whether it's a sort of collusion. Now, I'm a fan of trance music. I started listening to it, I guess I would say, in the late 90s, and it's evolved somewhat from then. Of course, some of those Tiësto classics were around back then. But I think that a lot of great evolution has gone into trance, and there's some really great music out there now by artists like Ferry Corsten, Armin van Buuren. And he has a recent song with Sophie Ellis Bextor called "Not Giving Up," which is very good. I think I like Above and Beyond. They're a trance group that has a number of hits. They had a fan contest a year or two ago for their video for "On a Good Day." They released the song, and then they had fans submit videos, and they had some pretty good submissions. And I think that video is pretty neat. I think what it shows is trance fans are passionate. They really do like trance, and then there's a lot of people who don't like trance, and in fact, a lot of people in the dance music community will have very negative opinions, very scathing opinions about trance, that both about its musical quality and its street cred, which, you know, of course, well, that's a big deal in the dance music world. Now, I don't know what makes someone a trance fan and what makes them not a trance fan. They're really just two different groups of people. And I do like the music in trance, I like the way the vocals are done. I really was a student of it, I feel like.
Earlier this year, and I was making some music, and I had a very good, last decade in the trance kind of feel about.
Visit us online at theacifipelican.us/oggcast, and you can also check out my new blog at djmblog.com. Now, please enjoy the outro vocals, starring Sal the Parakeet. Thank you.